Okay.
Hello and welcome to the Geek Embassy Watches Star Trek Discovery. I'm your host, Regina McMenemy, and I'm here live.
Hey.
With Dante and Isabella.
All right, in my
Hello.
defense, you didn't tell me that you were hitting the button right
I
at that
didn't.
second.
I just said, let's go.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm gonna put down my phone, and all of a sudden I hear the intro. I'm like, great. This is gonna sound awesome in podcast land. You're
You
welcome,
know,
Radio
Regina.
USA.
You know that this is what she does. What? I don't sabotage you guys hardly ever.
No,
Sometimes.
she's just a bad influence on us forever.
That, well, you'd have to define bad.
Defined bad as like there's $100 less in
Not
my checking
in
account after Comic Con weekend.
Yes, but I didn't like encourage you to buy drugs with that money.
That's entirely true.
I did encourage you to support independent artists that whose artwork you fell in love with.
Yes,
Okay.
that's entirely true.
Then
You're welcome, Internet.
I'm
She
so
wins
good.
again.
Still in the morally, good category. I wasn't, I do definitely inspire sushi consumption as well.
Oh my God, sushi consumption.
Yeah.
Now I want sushi.
No, flaming sushi one time.
I most certainly
Bad
also want flaming
idea.
sushi
Never
now.
again. Yeah,
Oh my
no.
God,
Never again.
all
That
right,
did not
so
end well for me.
it was the worst idea for Izzy, but it changed my
Yeah,
life.
it was pretty. I will always raw, never cook sushi ever again. And nothing with cream cheese, because I think you got a couple that had cream cheese on them, right?
Something
Maybe.
like that.
Yeah, we just don't know what it was. It didn't go well. All right, so we're not here to talk about sushi or cons or any of that.
What? This isn't the sushi cast?
This isn't the sushi cast.
Oh,
Although I did have poke for lunch. That was good. Nice.
Pogi is the best.
Yeah, I just saw pictures of somebody else's sushi today and I was like, damn it. When do I get to go to sushi
Could have
again?
taken a picture
Oh
so that I
man.
could taunt you with it. Well,
Yes. Yes, you missed your opportunity.
we've said damn it twice now, three
I know.
times now. There goes our PG rating.
The FCC allows it, so I'm gonna say we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna be okay. Other
All
words we're
right.
not so much with. Which we've actually noticed in some of our episodes of Star Trek Discovery.
Oh man. Look
Say.
at that Segway man.
That segue. That was lovely, if I do say so myself. All right, so tonight we have episodes 10 and 11 to discuss of Star Trek Discovery, which is back from its sort of winter holiday hiatus. And I'm trying to remember exactly. So episode 9 had ended where they didn't know where they were.
That is absolutely correct.
And
Stamets
yeah.
said the magic words, one last jump,
Right.
and then of
And jinxed
course
himself
everything went to
and
hell.
everybody else,
He's
yes.
one day away from retirement. Of course
Yes.
he's gonna get sick.
Yes, of
Yeah,
course.
he is, in the words of Danny Glover, too old for this nonsense.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was and something we didn't catch that a friend of mine, Liam, caught. Lorca overrode the
The final
location,
jump.
the final jump. The final he overrode the final jump
Of the
coordinates.
of the original like 140 whatever jumps.
No, like of
What?
that one, I think.
Really?
Yes. And so there's an internet theory, which we can get into more through that I'll talk about as we talk about the episode. I won't jump into it now because I have a talking point for it later. But I didn't catch it. He sent me the screenshot of it. Because I bet there's a bunch of internet theories kind of going on around that now. So yeah.
Let me see if I can find that one.
I'm looking for my notes
Start
here.
talking about something else.
Yeah, I have it. It's in the it's in our Slack channel.
Okay. Found it.
Yeah.
Oh, it really does. It says
It says Lorca.
Lorca.
It says Lorca override.
That's
And then
interesting.
the next jump is unknown. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty solid evidence of some sort of tampering. And I was like, oh my goodness, how did I not get this? Yeah. I'm looking for our old notes. Yeah. It was probably what?
It was probably like half a second on the screen.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Okay. It's one of those things that you probably would have. I didn't rewatch episode 9. I didn't have a chance to when we recorded. I don't think I did. And I have some predictions of ours from episode 9, which we can start if we want to start there. But yeah, so I didn't rewatch it, but he did, and he sent me that screenshot. I can't even take credit for the screenshot. So.
Oh man, that's incredible, though.
It is. It's a really telling moment. So, anyway, so we'll get more into that. Let's see what I had for. We said Lorca is a bad man, which
I mean he is.
He is, but we haven't seen any really more evidence of that at this point. Oh, and by the way, listeners and watchers, we're going to spoil everything.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're spoiling literally everything.
Yeah. What? Oh, Dante, you had a prediction that... Well, you had two predictions. That Stamets was going to turn into Q. Which...
Oh, I was really hoping that was going to be correct. Yeah. And I think I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong too. I think he's just that network that they're talking about that he's plugged into. And yep. That Ash is pregnant with Laurel's offspring.
Okay. Well, that was certainly a bold prediction that I don't even remember making.
I don't either. I was like, what Ash is pregnant? Why is Ash pregnant? But then.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I figured that it was going to be like some like chest burster nonsense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Something. Yeah. Which we didn't see. Right. And then my thing was that I felt like they had Voyagered Disco, which they didn't. They're calling back to the original track with this new storyline. So, yeah. All right. Do we want to do quick? I'm trying not to do too much episode recap and just kind of get more into talking points, but I feel like we have to talk a little bit about what happens.
Okay. So I think we can do episode 10 really quickly.
Okay.
And it sums up in pretty much this one sentence. Tilly's the captain now. You really don't need to know anything more about this episode.
And she's got the coolest haircut.
She has the most amazing haircut, and she's also incredible. So, yeah. So if you really want more than Tilly as captain, you should be watching this show. Discovery ends up jumping into the Mirror Universe, callback to the original series. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Regina, have we not seen the Mirror Universe since the original series?
Not that I know of. I have no recollection of them actually using this device anywhere else.
Okay, so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. They found out that that Discovery is part of some galactic empire of humans that is based on Earth under some shadowy emperor person.
The Terran Empire.
Okay, I knew that they had a weird word for it. And there is a united federation of alien races, including Klingons and Vulcans and Romulans, who all notoriously hate each other, working together.
And Andorians. They're the blue ones.
And Andorians, yep.
Yeah.
They didn't mention the Cardassians, did they?
The Cardassians. No, they didn't mention the Cardassians. But I think they're too far out into space. I think we don't get Cardassians until late in Next Generation.
Okay. So there's Andorians and all these other fun folks who notoriously hate each other, banded together in a united front against the Terran Empire. And we find out that that Michael Burnham never committed mutiny. She is a respected general who went missing looking for fugitive traitor Captain Lorca. We also find out that Tilly is captain of the Discovery, which, you know, is it absolutely incredible. Saru is a slave on the Discovery, on the Mirror USS Senjo, which as Watchers know, it was destroyed in our universe, but it is there in Mirror Universe. So Discovery decides to go ahead and get a basically stage an infiltration mission. They beam Burnham and Ash Tyler and Captain Lorca onto the Senjo to basically have Burnham take over a ship and try to rework how they can get back home from the inside.
Right.
And that is, and
she, that's how the episode ends, is them.
Yeah, is them infiltrating the ship and, right. Oh, well, then there's yeah, one
you
big thing.
A really big thing.
Like, yes.
The gasping moment of, let's come back from a nice winter holiday. Everybody's kind of chilled out. And then you watch your, like, Star Trek Discovery episode, and you literally, I know you did, I don't know if
did,
but I literally gasped at the screen when it happened.
You like, wait, so you're not talking about the part where Michael Burnham just was forced to leave Lorca in a torture chamber.
No.
Basically enduring 24 hours of torture a day. No, I'm like, you're talking about when they decided to refrigerator the LGBTQ couple who's out here.
The internet theories are that he's not dead.
What? Well, I think, well, I would normally,
because they're in the mirror universe.
I would normally say internet theories are wrong. That being said,
not anymore.
We need to wait one episode for this.
Yeah, we wait till the next one.
But yes. The other subplot for this episode was that Ash Tyler is succumbing to his brainwashing. The doctor, I can't remember what the doctor's name is. I feel like a bad person for not remembering.
Culber,
yes. Dr. Culber said, listen, like, there's something wrong here. You're not you.
Right.
Physically.
He did a scan, because they first did, and when he came back, they just did the mental test to see if he, you know, had suffered too much, like, Stockholm Syndrome or
PTSD
from it, and had, you know, decided that he was stable enough to return to work. But he did, like, a deep scan, because Ash goes to him and says, something's not right with this. Like, he knows something's wrong with himself.
Yeah.
And that was after Laurel tried to trigger
the memories
and to get him to realize what it is. And he fought it off. And she ends the episode saying, you know, this is what's wrong. Something's gone wrong. And so he's investigating that. So he goes to Culver and says, something's wrong with me, which prompts him to do the scan. And he sees that there's tons of scar tissue and all kinds of, like, weird stuff that they've done with, like, his insides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he says, you're not you. And then at that moment, grab, snap.
And he runs.
While Stamets is just unconscious on the table next to him.
Right. And Ash takes off and goes on the mission.
Literally gasped.
Yeah. I my hands to my face. And I was just like, Izzy, what about you?
I was just sad. I was like, did this have to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
And then I was like, Dante's right. She's going to kill every POC on the show one by one.
That was another talking point. But hey.
Yeah, we've definitely seen tendencies that I'm not particularly thrilled with on that front. But that pretty much wraps up our sort of summary
of the first episode.
I do want to point out one Easter egg in case anybody was not aware of it. But when they start talking to another one of the Imperial ships, when they're still trying to, like, figure out what's going on and where they are, Tilly's captain, so she has to act as captain suddenly. So she acts as captain, and Lorca's supposedly dead. So Lorca steps up to act as her engineer. You didn't miss the fact that he was Scotty, right? That he did Scotty's voice from the original series.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought that he was doing. I thought that he was just speaking in his normal accent because he's a British actor.
He was doing Scotty, like, full on, like, impersonation.
That's amazing.
Of Scotty. And I was like, oh, he's doing Scotty. Because fangirl. So anyway.
Yeah. It was pretty great. But yeah, I thought it was quite ingenious how they went ahead and started hacking data chips to go ahead and learn everything that they possibly could. So that was the one thing that I couldn't really get past in this episode, but I got past it because reasons, was that they learned practically everything about the Terran Empire in approximately, like, what, 3 hours? And then dispatched a crew to go ahead and just be like, hey, you know, other ships who are in the galaxy with us that were hailing us from not too far away, don't mind us while we just go ahead and just redo a paint job on our ship.
Yeah, I noticed that too. But I also noticed that she says at in her voiceover in episode 11 at the beginning of the episode, she says, I've been reading and reading and doing as much research and trying to find out as much as I can. So she continued that. So, like, it wasn't all there, like, for the next episode.
Okay.
So, yeah, but this was, like, the easiest recon mission ever.
Yeah.
I was just like, we get new uniforms and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somehow, I mean, like, Killy gets new hair. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, like, they have the fabricator or whatever it's called, it, the replicator.
Right. Replicator,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so they can go ahead and, like, computer, make me a pair of scissors. Okay, cool. Like,
right.
Yeah, I get it.
I need to cut my hair. Yeah,
which is why I thought to myself, just like, oh, like, they're getting all of these oddly specific costumes really quickly. And I'm like, oh yeah, right, they have a replicator.
Yeah, they can just go and, like, you know, they can, like, they've got the files and they can figure everything out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is where it I'll throw in the internet theory that comes with Lorca changing the coordinates on the last jump that destroyed Stamets, is that he wanted that not that he was wanting to go into the mirror universe because he's actually that guy.
Uh-huh.
So somehow our Lorca in our time is really the Lorca from the Terran Empire.
Interesting.
And that's where he had escaped to, was he had escaped because he disappears, right? They both disappear.
Huh.
He's hunting him to the ends of the earth, or Burnham's hunting him to the ends of the galaxy, rather.
Right.
Okay. And he somehow escapes into Mirror Universe, assumes Starfleet command, and is wants to go back for his own nefarious purposes.
Yes. And so his desire and his messing with this system is because he wanted to get back there. Because that's where he's from, and so his long game in this is to who knows what his long game is, but especially since he ended up putting himself up for torture. But yeah, Lorca's a bad, bad man.
The Lorca is a bad, bad man.
I guess that doesn't explain the one thing I had with that theory, is like, why would he be doing all this? But if he really is, and that would explain why he's so, like, screwed up.
Weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might even explain, like, some of that. I mean, the eye situation and, like, some of his stuff that he's, like, done, and
maybe
weird things that he's done. I don't know. Like,
I mean, he has a lot of eccentric behavior, and I think that we're all clearly expecting something to go wrong with him, just like we were all expecting something to go wrong with
Ash.
To go wrong with Ash. And I mean, what the hell? The internet was correct.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and it was funny because I rewatched episode 11, which we haven't gotten into the plot for yet, but the Torchbearer makes an appearance in the same scene with Ash, because the internet theory went so far as to look up, like, part of the evidence for the internet theory that, okay, so it's not really revealed until episode 11. But let's just jump into it. So in episode 11, they get orders to destroy the rebellion, and Michael has
straight from the Emperor themselves.
Straight from the Emperor, they get orders to destroy the rebellion, and Michael hesitates because she thinks it's just such an amazing thing that all of these people, all of these races that couldn't come together in their universe had come together here, and she wants to learn from them. So she instead goes down with Ash to meet the leader, who's called the Fire Wolf. The episode's called "The Wolf Inside."
Okay.
Right,
the Fire Wolf. I'm sitting there like, okay, cool. like, did they go ahead and borrow that from Dungeons and Dragons too?
I was immediately, and Regina's not going to get this, but I was like, Fire Lord.
Fire Lord was I. Fire Wolf. Yeah. I mean, like, I'd be down with a fire wolf Ozai. That would be that'd be pretty great. Anyway, this is also not the Avatar The Last Airbender podcast.
Right. It's all right.
It's just a really ridiculous name. I was like,
it is. Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, so he turns out to be Polk, the torchbearer Klingon, who has united everybody, which was his, like, you know, prophecy was that that's who he was going to be.
And it was interesting that in this universe, he is also Valk without the one without a house.
Right.
Just like he was in the regular universe right. Prime, whatever we're calling it.
Right.
It's very interesting to me that he goes from, you know, both universes, person without a house, and then he ends up becoming a great leader of people.
Right.
Managed to go ahead and unite traditionally warring factions against a common enemy, which is ultimately what Burnham figures out is the secret for them uniting. It's the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yes, exactly. You know, and yeah.
I feel like that kind of broke her at least a little bit, that like it wasn't great diplomacy. It wasn't like offering up of Weregild or anything like that. It was just the Terrans are that bad.
Right.
And they're that nasty and that evil that what other choice did they have but band together for survival?
Yep.
War makes strange bedfellows, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it was interesting to think that she had such high ideals and she came into that situation thinking she was going to learn so much about it. And then just to find out, he's like, none of us have a place to go. Like, we're hunted everywhere we go. So of course we're going to band together.
Yeah.
So in that scene when she's confronting him and she's trying to talk to him, the triggering of Ash's memories actually happens, and he figures out what's up, and so do we.
It's still not outwardly confirmed at that point, because just like in the camp, he starts speaking Klingon, and we're just like, oh, well, that is most certainly interesting, because it is still like it's still plausible at that point that he could have just been programmed or like picked up Klingon when he was, you know, 9 months inside of a Klingon vessel. And he turns on him, he tries to execute him, and they're about to go ahead and execute Ash and Michael. And meanwhile, Sarek, you know, doing his best impression
of has the evil goatee.
Yep.
Who has the same. I almost sent you guys a picture of Spock with the evil goatee from Mirror Mirror, the original series episode, so you could know exactly how, like.
Oh, I've seen that episode. Like, I haven't seen very much, but I've seen that episode.
Yeah, Mirror Mirror is like.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. He managed to go ahead and do a mind meld and saw all of Burnham's old memories, and he's holding back a couple of cards from the rest of the resistance at this point, because he is, we assume, seen very clear pictures of the fact that he has raised this woman as a daughter,
right?
And is able to say with absolute certainty that she comes with no harm, whether or not Ash is like. Whether or not Ash's intentions are pure, like, he has no idea.
Right, because he didn't do a mind meld with him. Yeah. So they get what they need. The rebels agree to evacuate. They agree to bomb the base after they have evacuated. They give them the information that they need to show that they've actually infiltrated the base. And then they take off back to the ship.
Yeah, they take off back to the ship where Burnham puts puts Ash in the brig, and is just like what is going on? Oh, first. No, yeah, right, yeah.
She takes him back to her room alone.
Yep, because alone. she figures it's just Ash. He's my dude. We're homies. We all good. And then he decides to, you know, like, to get all medieval up on her ass, and you know, like, it basically goes to town. He realizes clearly at that point, and if you haven't guessed at this point who he is, like, Ash is Valk. He is the torchbearer who has basically been horrifically, horrifically altered to look like a human, like out of a lobster, right? like it's the Klingons here as our lobsters, and they get to chip off all that exoskeleton and graft skin, and like,
well, I don't think that's
an amazing job.
I don't think that's what they did.
What do you think? What do you mean that that's not what they did?
No, because what the doctor was saying was that he had all the scar tissue inside his body. So I think, and then you saw in, well, okay, so I rewatched episode 11 today, so I've seen it twice. And so, and that was the second time I was looking for indicators, which I wasn't the first time. So the second time in the torture scenes, when it's showing the flashbacks for him, when he's starting to come to the actual realization, it shows Ash's body with this big red circle and all the internal organs highlighted. And then it shows them pulling the heart out of Tolk.
Really?
They didn't take the Klingon and make him look like a human. They put the Klingon innards inside Ash.
Oh, okay, but God.
That's just why he was talking about the doctor was saying you have all this scar tissue and all this weird bone breakage and all this weird healing, and it doesn't look right. It doesn't look like, you know, a human's supposed to look on the inside, which is because it's the wolf inside.
But didn't Internet, Trevor say see my face something right about now. Like shortening, like shortening his skeleton and like shortening his spine and.
Okay.
All the bone breakage and stuff.
I thought the bone breakage was all on the internal stuff.
Like that. Like that. Your theory, Regina, like makes it worse.
I know.
it makes it so much worse.
But when I saw this, because the torture scenes are horrible, you know, and I like have to like, and but I was like actually like very closely paying attention today, and I'm like, no, they're literally like scooping like innards out and like putting them in Ash. Like this is not they. Scaled him down and made him look like Ash. They took Ash's body and put
put folks' brain and heart in there.
Well, and I don't even think that they messed up his head. Like, because if you look at the torture scenes, there's no indication that they've
busted his skull off. Yeah,
to put his brain in, and he says, "I feel him inside me. I feel him inside me." And
literally and figuratively now.
And the doctor was saying, "It's as if your consciousness is over someone else's."
Jesus.
So somehow they figured out how to put both consciousnesses in one brain, and the innards of the torchbearer into Ash. And that's why he still reads human. That's why he could get by the scans, because it's not that they turned him into it. It's that they like literally shoved his body parts in him.
I mean,
cheers.
Internet, you can't see my face right now unless you're watching the video, but like I am utterly disgusted.
But it's this is you know, really
go back and watch it. I thought it was.
Yeah, oh, go back God. And watch
like,
it.
It's like I thought that they had like I thought that they had basically just like cracked him down like a lobster, like crushed his skull and you know, like did all the stuff and grafted skin over him and like. And I was saying, I was like, that's a pretty darn good job of making a Klingon look like a human, but like, this is very much worse. And I don't like it. I'm quitting this show.
Yeah.
That's a lie. I'm not quitting this show.
I mean, who could quit the show at this point? Like, I have to see where this goes.
I absolutely have to see where this goes.
Like, I could understand quitting in the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes. I get it.
Yeah.
But you get to this point, it's like, no, this story is so off the rails. I have to see what happens with this.
Yeah. Yeah, so Regina, you remember when I was like back at episode like 1 when like Michelle Yeoh was on there and I was just like, oh, look at that, like Michelle Yeoh, like it's gonna be Crouching Tiger, Hidden Klingon. And that was a joke because Michelle Yeoh did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Like, there's actually a Hidden Klingon in here.
Yes. Yes.
I did not mean for that to actually
so you be had saying. An actual prediction that you didn't know was an actual prediction.
So I want to go ahead and mark that down on the scorecard as Dante got one thing right.
Yes.
Even though I didn't mean for that thing to be right.
Yes.
However, speaking of Michelle Yeoh. You remember back in episode 2 when I said that I was very disappointed that the show was going to be about Michael Burnham, and I wanted it to be her and Michelle Yeoh or Philippa Giorgio, buddy cops.
Right.
we are not going to get Michelle Yeoh and Michael Burnham buddy cops. We are going to get Emperor Philippa Giorgio.
I know. As soon as she came on the screen, I was like, what?
I literally rewound that scene like three times. Like same as when the doctor was killed by Ash. Like I was like, did I just see that? And then this one, like I was typing stuff. Like I was going ahead and just like and typing and
yeah, because that episode was kind of like plodding along and it's moving and you're like, okay, cool stuff is happening and this is good. Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, look at that, the Emperor. Like I look up, like, ah! Like I literally like threw my laptop to the side. What is happening here? And then I was like, that is not her. It's not, oh my God, it's her. Yeah. In case it's not very evident, I have a gargantuan.
Gargantuan.
I pronounce it GIF too, apparently. So, so I have a gargantuan crush on Philippa Giorgio. So like I will follow her to the gates of hell. I will march right inside. Like I am prepared to go ahead and let the bad guys win this one, as long as I get to see more of her.
Right.
I'm absolutely prepared to go ahead and let the Terrans eradicate every single Vulcan if that means that I get to see Michelle Yeoh in more episodes.
I just have to say that like I thought the costumes and the uniforms and everything in our disco universe were pretty on fleek, right?
Stop trying to make that a thing.
It's sure. They were pretty fetch.
Okay, I'll accept that.
But they were like they looked smart, they looked, you know, appropriate, they didn't have anything too crazy or too much of anything. But the uniforms and the design in the mirror universe, I drool over some of them. Like they look so good.
Absolutely on points.
They are. They're just fantastic. And it's just, it's enough, you know, because our joke is always, you know, from Mirror Mirror, you've got an evil version of somebody throw a goatee on him, you know, like it's the thing. But they've done so well. Like I said, I love Captain Killy.
Oh my God, Captain Killy.
God.
Oh my God. Like, I didn't think that it was going to get better than Captain Tilly.
Right.
Like, if for nothing else than the look on Lorca's face when he found out that she was the captain of the Discovery in this universe.
Yeah, but her hair and her appointments and her, I mean, just everything was great. Oh my God. And then once Giorgio comes back as the Emperor.
Oh my God.
Her outfit. I was
like, still my heart.
Where are the cosplayers? Because this mirror universe needs to have every cosplayer out there working on it like right now. God.
Like literally everyone. Like if the cosplay scene at San Diego Comic-Con this year is not at least like 30% Mirror Universe Philippa Giorgio, I am going to demand a recount.
It's just so good. It's so good. The look is amazing. And
oh my God. And she's like she is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely wonderful.
And you have this down as a question here, as a note here, but part of that scene and that reveal, part of what was fascinating to watch it again today, and so you mentioned this in the notes, is how, or you mentioned it in the first episode notes, is how well acted this series is. Yeah. And I know we had our doubts about the actress playing Michael.
Michael Burnham, yeah.
I want to call her Sasha because she was Sasha on The Walking Dead.
Sinequa Martin Green.
Yeah, and like her face and she doesn't have a line to speak. It all has to come from her face. And she just did such an incredible job with the subtlety of it. Like the
sold it. Yeah.
Fight of like her real reaction to having like to pull it together to have the mirror reaction. Like, oh, it was just so good.
Oh my God. It's absolutely incredible. Like I wrote that down initially in episode 10 because I wanted to really highlight how Tilly has come, kind of full circle. Like, you know, she was like the neurotic crew member who talks too much and doesn't understand social cues, and how she has had to abandon all of that and become the confident, ruthless captain that's her mirror universe self is. And I thought that the actress, I don't know what the actress's name is, but the actress who did that managed to pull it off with such aplomb, and like, mm-hmm. and not to mention, she managed to capture this this essence of how much Tilly is struggling with being someone that she's not,
right?
And how she needs to be debriefed, and how she needs to be encouraged by Lorca, and just all of these tiny things that add up to make her such a well-rounded character. And I was going to applaud her mm-hmm. as like the absolute star of these last two episodes, and she was until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it was exactly what you just said. Like, when Michelle Yeoh and Sonequa Margarine are just selling this whole big reveal, I don't know. I don't go on Reddit for spoilers. I don't look for fan theories on Twitter or anything like that. So I don't know if this was predicted. Like, I know that the fan theory with Volk being Ash was a thing, but I don't know if anybody predicted that Philippa Georgiou was going to be the Emperor in this universe.
I was wondering where she was
mm-hmm. in the universe, in the alternate in the universe.
I was wondering if she had died or.
Would
have been no mention of it, and nobody had looked her up, which I thought was interesting. Like, nobody had looked up what she was doing.
Oh, that's the thing. It's like she's been gone for what, 6-9 months at this point.
Yeah.
At this point, they've all been super stressed out with two encounters with Harkor Fenton Mudd and this brewing war with the Klingons. They haven't had a lot of time as a crew to really get together and grieve and mourn and all of the fun stuff. And let's be real here. Like, there's only three people really on this ship who really knew Philippa Georgiou in any real capacity. And that's Lorca, Burnham, and Saru. Everybody else, nobody else was on that ship.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. That's right.
No, so why would anybody but those three people think to look for her?
Right.
You know, like,
at the same time, they had Saru ask about himself.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just can't imagine, it just seems awfully convenient that they hadn't looked her up at some point to see what had happened to her. But I also didn't think about it in the moment. Like, I think... You know, originally, and I said these in the first episodes that we recorded talking about the show, how disappointing it was that they had had such a big name and how she had been refrigerated so early on.
I mean,
I couldn't imagine why an actress of her caliber mm-hmm. would agree to do a TV show. Just to be in a couple of episodes. I was like, well, maybe the money was good and she was just there for a couple of episodes and that was cool. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like there was so much more that could have been done and mm-hmm. then we have it. But I think the reason why I had kind of like, she kind of fallen out of my brain and fallen out of my consideration of the story was because she did die so early.
Yeah.
You know, and so I wasn't like keeping her in mind in all of this. So mm-hmm. that's, I don't know if it was planned that way, but...
Yeah, I mean so that's a thing that I didn't even think of until literally just now when you brought it up with regards to her dying. Like, so I made a point in the notes as well that they have killed off three people of color at this point. They've killed off the doctor. They killed off the rando security guard red shirt with tardigrade, and most prominently, they killed off Philippa Georgiou in episode number 2. At this point, like, do we take a death back because she's on the show again?
Was it intentional? Like, was having her die so early intentional so that we could have so much build up to this reveal?
I mean, I cannot imagine that I cannot imagine that this is anything but deliberate, because she's, of course, featured prominently in two episodes, and then she was featured in flashback in a couple of episodes, or not a couple, like just like one episode, the episode where she ends up getting the telescope.
Right.
Where Burnham ends up getting the telescope. And that's it. And I thought, I was like, okay, cool. Like, Michelle, you signed up for, you know, 2.5 episodes of a.
You've been a Star Trek captain. You did a movie's worth of Star Trek time.
I figured that she's just like, all right, cool. Like, I'll go ahead. I'll take the easy paycheck. I'll go and chill in Malibu now, because, you know, like, that's awesome.
Because that's what
big name actresses do, right?
Yep.
And yeah, like, I cannot imagine that this is anything but deliberate. Like, I am, like, you've all watched Buffy. I am being brought back to season 6 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where they got rid of Giles that early in season 6, where he just like went back to England.
Right.
And then you didn't even know that he was there until the second to last episode of season 6, where Will's gone full on dark magic. And she's like, no power in the verse can stop me now. And then he hits her with a magic blast from behind, and she gets up, and the camera just pans to him. He's like, I'd like to test that theory. And every Buffy fan in the world was like, what's going on? and you remember, like, at that point, like he wasn't in the special guest credits at the beginning.
Right.
Like, after he says, I'd like to test that theory, screen goes to black, and then it says, special guest star, Anthony Stewart Head.
Right.
It immediately got brought back to those feelings when I saw that.
Yeah, so I wonder too.
In this episode.
Yeah, I wonder if she's going to be listed in the credits at the beginning of the episode now, because she is sort of an official.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, like, I kind of feel like maybe she's not going to be in the title credits, but she's going to be prominently featured as, like, you know, like special guest star Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, which is perfectly fine by me.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I don't know. It was, yeah. I know I was lukewarm, and I had a friend of mine who listens to the show message me on Twitter, and he's like, wow, you really didn't like Discovery when it first came out. And I was like, I didn't feel like I didn't like it, but I was certainly on the fence about it. But whoa, baby.
I mean, it took a while.
It did. I mean, it was a slow burn.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think, like, you know, listening back to our episodes, like, we were kind of like up and down. Like, I think I even invoked the Star Trek even numbered rule.
Right. The episodes.
You know, just like every other episode was great.
Right.
And every other episode was just like terrible.
Now it's like every episode is just knocking your head off with a baseball bat, because
I know. It's like, and at this point, like, the hype is so built up, I'm not sure where they can go from here.
Right. Like, what's the payoff going to be in this? Like, where's the payoff going to come? But
yeah, I mean, but still, like, I'm glad that they didn't build up to revealing the Emperor's identity for the entire second half of the season, because I feel like at that point, everyone would just be waiting, like, it's got to be Giorgio, it's got to be her. And then it comes, and, like, great. Like, great, and we're all happy, but, like, this just, like, slapped you in the face with absolutely no warning, no indication that it was happening. And I'm like, that is some damn good writing. Like, extraordinarily deceptive. They played a very intricate shell game with making you guess what's happening and keeping you off balance. And when it hits us, all of us just like, oh God, what? What did I just watch?
Yep.
Oh God, like, my heart is still fluttering. Because because everything about this just, like, I can't believe I'm actually about to say this, but, like, good on you, CBS. I have gotten my money's worth.
Yeah, like, no kidding. I said that too. Like, I've been kind of annoyed the whole time that I felt they were limiting the audience and limiting, you know, who was going to access it because who was going to pay for it. But
they
wanted to drive people to their service.
This was worth paying for. Yeah. There's like these 10 episodes. Like, if you had just told me like these 10 episodes were it, yeah, I'd be like, okay, like, got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and we have, I think good. It goes to, we have 4 more after this.
Yeah, four more after this.
Yeah, that's
this.
What I was just looking up.
Yeah, it ends February 11th is the last episode. They have all the titles up of the next ones.
If I have to see Michael Burnham kill Philippa Giorgio again, I'm going to scream.
Well, she didn't kill her last time. She just didn't manage to protect her in a bad situation.
She didn't manage to protect her, but like she kind of pulled the trigger on that one. Yeah. Like if she had just done her roundabout, her flyabout, or whatever she was supposed to do, Giorgio would not be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, if I have to see Philippa Giorgio die one more time, I'm going to lose myself.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyways.
I don't know. We'll see. I can put that on the list of predictions. But there was some note I had in here that I wanted to make sure I talked about, but I can't remember what it was now. Oh, I know what it was. It was on the one of the pieces of the fan theory that Ash was Tolk, the torchbearer. Was that they had looked up, at least the evidence that I had seen for it, was they had looked up the IMDb profile for the actor who played the torchbearer, and it was very thin, and it didn't have any pictures of any, like, actual face associated with it or anything. And I realized today, watching episode 11 over again, you can actually pick up on the vocal cadence and mannerisms being the same between the torchbearer and Ash in that scene where they're on the planet together. You can actually like hear it, and I was like, oh man.
So you actually did not say what I thought you were going to say with regards to that's a part of the fan theory. With regards to the IMDb page, this actor who played Voke, the torchbearer, came out of nowhere. He didn't really have any acting credits before this.
Yep.
And that seems really strange. That no one's heard of this person. You know who that person is? That is the name of Shahzad Latif's father.
Really?
they use the name of his father in the IMDb profile to deliberately throw off people. So that is why nobody knew who he was. Because they used the name of his father, and I think he said he was passed away. His father had passed away a couple of years ago. So one's gonna have any pictures. No one's gonna be able to track down an actual person.
Yeah, if anybody goes searching, they'll find people with that name, but it obviously couldn't be the person.
Yeah, like that is absolutely crazy. I'm sorry. but you know what? Like, good on CBS. Good on CBS and the showrunners or whoever's basically in production or in charge of producing this thing, because. Like, they are very aware that internet spoilers are a thing and that you need to use a whole ton of deception in order to make sure that something stupid like IMDb doesn't ruin your show.
Right. Well, and that's what's so funny is I had IMDb up to keep track of the episode titles, which I usually do as we record. So I just clicked on the cast just to look to see if they still had that fake profile up, and they don't. They've changed it, so it's Volk for... Yeah. The actor who plays Ash, they've like updated that enough. So.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
They even went back to make sure that IMDb updated it.
I cannot even imagine how much they would have, how much they had to pay off someone at IMDb and just be like, listen, this is a fake person. You shut your mouth and we will make you a very happy person.
Make the profile.
here is a Tesla Model S. Would you like it? You know, like, I would shut up for a Tesla Model S, but that's just me.
Yeah. All right, Isabella, you've been awfully quiet.
You two talk a lot. Did you know that?
I mean, I'm an extrovert who basically likes hearing the sound of his own voice. So yeah, I get that.
I can't help it. I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think that you two liked it more than I did, but I am excited to see where it's going.
but
I'm not sure what to say.
You can say that that you also accept Philippa Giorgio as your supreme overlord.
This is true. This is true. I'm happy she's back.
Oh my god!
I want to her to just kick them all and just yes.
It's gonna be incredible. Oh god. Yeah,
I do love her line where she's like, "You made me walk from the other side of the quadrant to do your job. How dare you?
To do your job? Oh yeah, that's a big plot point. That before the rebel facilities are evacuated, like they get blown up anyway by other starships because this is a thing. You know, because yeah.
And just like,
oh god, yeah, like, and just that last line is just like, don't you bow before your emperor? I'm like, yes, I will absolutely bow before you.
Yes, I do. Yep. Yes, I do.
Oh man, you can stop me when this starts sounding creepy. I feel like I've already crossed that threshold. So
you're allowed to have a crush on the emperor. I mean, you know, I'm sure she's got a little cult following of fanboys.
I mean, you know, that's like
it's rubber perfect. Feet for like, her or give her a bath like Saru does for Michael. I did want to make a comment about how I thought it was quite refreshing that it took them to get to 11 episodes before they put Michael in her underwear.
Oh yeah. That was interesting. Like now that you mentioned that, yeah, that it felt really out of place for me.
Yes.
That, yeah, you know, that.
But it's supposed to be the mirror universe, so it kind of like maybe yeah. We're supposed okay, to like, a little bit more.
As far vulnerable. As underwear goes, it was.
Oh, it was. I'm not complaining. Like,
yeah,
yeah, they did a good representation.
It wasn't a Star Trek movie level of underwear.
No, or even you know, yeah, like I, you know, there's a long tradition. There's a long sad tradition of women in science fiction movies ending up in their underwear. AKA Ripley and Alien. You know, where
the Green Lady with Shatner.
Yes, you know, right. there's always sort of some scantily cladness that has to happen, that doesn't have to happen. Excuse me, I don't mean to say that, but that ends up being part of the plot. It's in some place. And so I really am I'm serious when I say that. I'm glad that it didn't happen in episode 2 because, you know, gratuitous, scantily clad women could definitely be a thing.
Yeah.
That it was a very tasteful, like, outfit for her, which was great. It wasn't, you know, a crop top with, you know, side boob or whatever.
I mean, and I also appreciate that they spent like a decent amount of time with Shahzad Latif shirtless. So I was like, okay, like at least they are going ahead and trying to be equitable about this.
Yeah, even the playing field a little bit, like making it so it's a little bit more even, you know, numbered or whatnot, but, you know,
yeah.
Evenly
distributed.
Yes. And so I was, but I do think that the reason why, I mean, story-wise, I think we needed to see her being a little bit more vulnerable because that whole voiceover in that entire scene is about how she's afraid that she's going to have been there for too long, and having been there for too long, she's going to lose herself and blah, 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 blah. So yeah. It made sense that it was kind of coming out at that point.
Yeah. I mean, and now she doesn't have that tether. Like
right.
She was relying solely on Ash Tyler, and he's not there for her anymore.
Right. And Lorca, they have a scene. She has a scene with Lorca where she says after she boots him out, and she's like, bring him to my ready room or my chambers or whatever, because I want to have some time interrogating him. And he comes in, he's like, oh, I'll be your tether. And I'm like, you're going to push her over the friggin' edge.
Like, well, I mean, and that's
on purpose.
I mean, here's the thing. It's just like, how much can he possibly be a tether when he is apparently enduring like 23 hours a day of torture versus like 1 hour of private one-on-one time with the captain?
Right.
You know, it's just
I don't know. I keep thinking too, like, I feel like one of the senses I always had about the Mirror Mirror episode in the original series, one of the things that's so amazing about it is you feel the tension of them feeling like any one flub is going to get them exposed.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's to the point now where I'm like, they've got to freaking know something's going on. There's just too much that she's done that's out of character and too many things that she's kind of manipulated, mm-hmm. you know, especially when she beamed him out into space and I'm assuming she changed the coordinates of where they beamed him. She beamed him to.
Yeah, I think she managed to go ahead and like send a message to the Discovery.
She had to at some point because they knew to pick him up and they knew that he was a traitor.
Yeah.
When they picked him up and that he was going to have the material. So how did all of that happen in the span of time between?
Yeah, like she has to have like a secret communicator or something like that to send messages to Saru or something like that.
Something.
Well, like, she does. Well, that's how she talked to channel before, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but you know, it's not like you can go, you know, and get a straight talk burner cell in space or something right. like that.
You know? But she did like have to get dressed and everything before.
She had to go. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, because she was basically undressed while Valk was trying to kill her.
Right. Well, no, she was still in her. She was still in her. They had just come back from the mission.
Oh.
But she did change, right?
She changed, though. She changed into her regular uniform from her.
Oh yeah, from her Kevlar vest or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Wait. She's wearing the Kevlar vest at the end.
You're right. She is because it's got these weird things on the shoulders,
bumps, like the bumps that I noticed when she was bowing.
And then she goes to put her head over, and she's got like
turtle. Doing that thing. Yeah,
it's like a.
So turtle. I don't know. Maybe she got like a moment to compose herself and.
Yeah, something.
She managed to sneak off a message somehow.
Yeah, yep. I guess that was the assumption we're supposed to make is that she was able to communicate with all of it too.
Because the second he shows up in space, I was like, oh, she really did kill him.
I said the same thing. I was like, I didn't expect that was really going to be what happened. And then he starts freezing and I'm like, yeah, because he's awful. And then he gets beamed out of space and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
He's only going to mess things up more. And then we're still from our universe and we don't do things that way. And I was like, yeah, you're going to regret that on this one, I'm afraid.
You're absolutely going to regret that one. I was like, Saru, like, you done messed up.
That, and I was like, well, he could have killed himself. The mirror universe, him, could have killed me. Kind of killed Ash when they were down on the planet, and I'm like, oh, that would have been interesting.
That would have been very interesting.
Nobody would have known, and he wouldn't have even really known because he was stuck into it at that point, but...
Yeah, so that's gonna be it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
So you're all in.
I'm beyond all in. I'm not really sure even how to find myself at this point. Like, I have to know what happens. Like, I have this addiction to the story anyway, where I have to know what happens. Mm-hmm. And when the story is good and the acting is good, and I'm like, let's go. Mm-hmm. All right. So what predictions do you have? Let's end to this episode with one prediction from each of us what we think was going to come up in the rest of the season.
Oh, man.
Dante, let's start with you.
Oh, man. Why'd you have to start with me?
Mind you, people listening and watching, I did not warn them that I was doing this. I literally just dropped it on both of them. So
that's okay. All right. So are we making predictions for the next two episodes or for the season overall?
Well, we only have four episodes left. Mm-hmm. So I'd be comfortable if we would just want to do the season overall.
Okay. I think the rest of the season. Okay. I think that the real Ash Tyler will please stand up. He's going to go through a fight of consciousness. Because they've already established that they have overlaid someone else's consciousness with Vokes, right?
Right.
I think that there is going to be that sort of mental psychic struggle, and eventually Ash Tyler is Ash Tyler's consciousness is going to either A, win out and take control back of his body, or B, he's going to help the crew in some way by offing himself and ensuring that
self-sacrifice,
that the traitor inside of him never hurts anyone again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Izzy.
I'm going to say that Saruf finds out that something horrible has happened to his people. And that's why they've been, like, enslaved.
Okay.
I'm grasping at straws. I have no idea.
I know. Well, I
the show has gone completely off the deep end.
It has. Like, it's just, I really just don't know where to kind of predict with what's going because of.
Yeah.
Maybe Culver, maybe Dante's, wait, what was it Dante that said that maybe Culver's not dead? Or was that
I said
the Culver's not dead. I said
Culver's not dead. Doctor, the doctor.
Maybe that will actually happen because who knows?
Hey, you know what? Like fan theories are one for one at this point. So
I still can't believe it.
Well, it was what I had seen was something that the actor who plays the doctor had said. Don't worry, it's not a story of another gay getting refrigerated.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that, like it was a quote from him.
Interesting.
I mean,
I guess I'm gonna let it play out.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure I want to look into it further.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. I'm trying to stay. I mean, I only like see, you know, just I don't go seeking things out. I just kind of see what pops up and like, you know, the bigger like you know whoever I follow on Facebook, IO9, or the different pop culture sites that I follow, even the Mary Sue, who had a really interesting article about Runaways, by the way.
Really?
Yes. You should check it out.
I might mostly, check it out.
Mostly a lot of praise. A lot of praise. A lot of what we said, actually.
Well, I hope that we're suing them for bogarting our ideas.
No, but yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think the theory of that my friend Liam shared with me about Lorca being the mirror Lorca.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of on board with that. I'm thinking that might be the case. I think Lorca has some agenda that is unclear at this point in time. I think he wanted to be in this universe, and I think he did orchestrate this.
Maybe he did it just to get the spore drive.
I don't know.
Other universe.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know how this works. Huh. I'm grasping at straws.
Well, I don't know.
Why would he need to go back there?
Well, that's what I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know. But I'm putting the spore drive down on your predictions, okay. Isabella. Because I don't think we haven't... There was another ship that had a spore drive. But
No, this is the only ship that has a spore drive.
No, in our universe.
Oh.
That's exploded. Where
they found the tardigrade. Remember, they originally found the tardigrade.
Got destroyed.
Yeah, in our universe, but did it get destroyed in the mirror universe?
I don't think it exists in the mirror universe.
And is there any evidence of the spore drive at all? Like, I hadn't even thought about that. Like, they haven't jumped since
they said didn't they say that their counterpart has, like, a quantum engine or something about it was different?
I don't remember. But yeah, okay. All right, so I'll go ahead and throw out another prediction, is that I think that Lorca being a traitor is a red herring.
Okay.
Like, they have made it way too obvious. I think they've made it way too obvious at this point that they want you to look at Lorca being a bad guy, and I don't think that he is.
You think he's going to turn around and be good at the end?
I think that he ultimately is just like... I think he's ultimately going to end up being that, that hotshot guy who... He's a soldier at heart. All he's wanted to do is go to war, but he's ultimately had the best interests of the Federation at mind. And despite the fact that he has tactics that Starfleet doesn't agree with, he's ultimately acted in the best interests of Starfleet. I think that him being evil is a red herring.
Yeah, could be. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there is an awful lot pointing that way.
Too
much smoke, none of fire.
Yeah, and if this show has proven to us anything, it is that they are fantastic at misdirection.
They really are.
Yeah.
That I will definitely be on board with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're really good at throwing you off the track. So, yeah. So we'll see. All right. To our faithful listeners, I hope some of you guys are watching Disco.
No.
Yep.
No Disco.
No Disco. Always Disco. Forever.
Disco forever. Mm. Yeah, let us know at thegeekembassy.com or at the Geek Embassy on Twitter. Your thoughts and predictions. Do you think the show is as crazy as we think it is? I really do. Well, it was funny because I looked on back on the post for episode 9, the mid-season finale, and I had in all caps, "What is happening on this show?"
I mean,
I'm still wondering.
I had it then, and it's more true now.
Yeah, I mean, that's not an untrue statement.
No, not at all. So we want to know what you guys think is going to happen, or what fan theories. But how do you feel about a fan theory coming true? Like, how do you feel about this?
When was the last time that happened?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's such a crazy one.
yeah, totally. Like, a lobster can be a human too, right?
Yeah, right. Why not? You know? Yeah, like, just fascinating.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Until next time, get your disco on. I have to do that one. It works.
Of course you have to do that one. Why wouldn't you? I am perfectly okay with it. It's the other member of this podcast who is just giving you the stink eye.
Well, she shakes her head every time. No, I do. Disco. No disco. No disco.